In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel, we see the blind man happened to be on the road to Jericho when the Lord just happened to pass by. And we think about this man and we think, gee, what a break. He just happened to be there. And the Lord was just happening to be in that area. And so he cries out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. But what happens? Strangely enough, it's something that we see even today when you have certain personages that are popular or going through crowds. And what do they always have? An entourage, right? And what are these people always trying to do? To keep the crowd away. And so even in this circumstance, when the Son of God himself is coming down the road, we see this same sort of thing, that this was a popular figure. This was a man who was going about all through the countryside, healing all manners of diseases, so many other miracles in place, and word had spread, and so it had gotten around, and so a certain number of people, whether it's his disciples or not, we're not sure, gather around wanting to be part of the crowd, wanting to somehow make sure that the others don't come near the Lord, even though that, of course, is why he was there. And so they tell the man, shut up. What are you doing? Don't you know who this is? This is a rock star coming through here. Who are you to approach him? Who are you to say something? But the man persisted, didn't he? He kept on. He kept on shouting and shouting and shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he got the attention of the Lord, who then comes to him and grants him what he so desired, to be healed of his blindness. So many times in our own lives, I was thinking about this just last night. The Lord passes by us too, many, many times. And we don't shout out the way that the blind man did. We don't flag him down. We don't say, well, I need this, Lord. I need this. I desperately need your salvation. He comes to us in so many ways that we don't even notice him. And yet he is always there. Yet he is always coming to us. Yet he is always one who not only comes by us one time, as he did for this blind man on the road to Jericho, but he comes by us many, many times. And more often than not, we're not the ones trying to flag him down. He's the one trying to flag us down. He's the one who says, wake up. Look, I'm here. Why are you not paying attention? And the only difference that we have between all of these wondrous saints that we celebrate in the church and ourselves is that they flagged him down. They cried out to him in so many ways that he would come to them. We celebrate today a wonderful saint, Xenia, the wonder worker, the homeless wanderer of St. Petersburg, the fool for Christ. She's got all of these different titles, and yet she is also one whom initially did not flag down the Lord, but he came to her in a way that was very difficult for her to bear, as sometimes he comes to us in ways that are difficult for us to bear. The difference is she responded. She was a young girl, not much different than the young women of today. She had married a soldier, a man in the army, high up in the army, high ranking. She was very well off. She had a terrific life. By all accounts, she was doing very well. She was said to be young and beautiful, probably on the cusp of a sort of society lady in the vicinity of St. Petersburg. And really, We don't know how much thought she gave to God at that time, probably about as much as many of us do. That the Lord is someone who, well, we try to pay attention to, but we got all these other things going on also. And so we, you know, we put him in his place, and we put our other things in their places, and life was wonderful and going along really well for her. But she was faithful enough to still have that modicum of love towards God that she had been raised with. And so one night when her husband was away, he happened to be at a drinking party. And we don't know all the details, but we know that he drank enough that he fell over dead. And that was that. That was the end of the beautiful life for her. That was the end of the parties, of the society that which she was a part of. It all stopped right then and there. And Xenia was just ripped to the core. Not only because she loved her husband, but because she felt that because of this action of his, he did not have time even for confession, for repentance, for receiving the holy mysteries before he died, which is the hope of every Orthodox Christian. And so she was absolutely crushed. Her world came to an end right there. And like perhaps many of us would have done, we would fall in some sort of despair, some sort of reevaluation of our life, perhaps anger at God. Who knows what else we would have been thinking of when something like this happens that so crushes your life and turns it inside out, upside down. What do you do? Well, for her, it was a God moment. She recognized that it was the Lord flagging her down. And she was so concerned with her husband. She so loved her husband that she went off and went to a, we don't know exactly where because the sources are not clear about this. Some say that it was to a monastery, some to a convent. Some say that she was with spiritual fathers who guided her for the next 8 years. The next 8 years. But before she left, she decided to give away all of her husband's wealth. Now, the family wasn't very happy about this. They didn't like it a bit. In fact, they took her into court and said, look, she's so distraught by the loss of her husband that she's lost her mind. I mean, she just wants to give all of this stuff away. And so the court examined Xenia and came back and said, no, this woman has her full mental capacities. She knows just what she's doing. And so Xenia did give everything away and then went out and became a sort of seeker of spiritual wisdom from these elders and monastic people that she was with. And she returned after the 8 years and came back into St. Petersburg as an entirely different woman. In fact, so great was her love for her husband that she said, Xenia is dead. She's gone. And to emphasize this, she wore the uniform of her husband, Andre. And when that uniform finally wore out, she found red and green to match it and wore these old tattered clothes for the rest of her life. And so she began wandering the streets of St. Petersburg. Some people were very, very curious about this. Some thought, well, this is the mad woman. You know, she lost her husband. We haven't seen her for a while, but now she's back and she's crazy. She's doing all sorts of things. It was really a terrible situation for Xenia to be in, but she bore it all. There was only one time that we know of that she actually got upset. She started carrying a cane with her to walk around with this cane, and some kids came out and were making fun at her and started throwing rocks at her. So she turned around, raised the cane, and ran after them. And that was the only time that we know that she was really upset by anything. After a while, people got used to her. She began being invited into people's homes and putting on the role of the Eurodevi, the fool for Christ, which is such a very rare occurrence in the Orthodox Church where one maintains an appearance of foolishness for the Lord's sake in order to have inner freedom, to be completely free of the things that the world demands of them. She began going home to home, house to house. She had certain numbers of friends who would invite her in at different times. They would listen to her carefully because they said that her very appearance among them in the home brought a sense of peace and warmth wherever she went. And she would start uttering different things to them that didn't really make any sense at the time. But you see, Xenia was given the gift of foreknowledge. She had this prescience of things that were to come. The Lord granted her that. And keep in mind that this sort of thing is not even granted to angels. The angels themselves, the host of heaven, have no idea about the future. They cannot read the future, what's going to happen on earth. But yet Xenia was given this gift. And she would say certain things. And as we heard in the Synaxarian today, she even predicted the death of the Empress Catherine II. She went about through the streets of St. Petersburg saying, "We must bake blini. We must bake blini." Blini, of course, is a Russian pancake. It is used often at times for services for the dead. And so no one knew anything about why she was running around saying this. But then the next day, they received word that the Empress Catherine had indeed reposed. She did many, many things like this, so many that we can't even count them. An extraordinary woman who, from the age of 26, because she was born probably around 1730, we're not exactly sure of her death either. It was probably in the early 1800s, probably no more than 1805. But after the age of 26, and then her 8 years studying with these spiritual guides, and she comes back in the rest of her life, she remains as this homeless wanderer in the St. Petersburg area. She helped build a cathedral in her old age, the Cathedral of Smolensk, which was being built at that time. The workers were coming back the next day and finding huge loads of bricks that had been taken up to the scaffolding where they were working, and they couldn't figure out who was doing it. And so they put some men out there to watch overnight. And sure enough, the elderly Xenia, who died at the age of 71, was seen carting these bricks up to the cathedral in order that the church may be built. After her death, of course, her fame spread. Even more miracles were worked then than during her life. She is very much known as an intercessor for someone who is looking for lost things, and particularly for someone who is looking for employment, looking for work. There are story after story after story about people who found work due to her intercession, people that were cured of migraine headaches, of all sorts of diseases. And it's not like these things were happening back in the 1800s. They're happening even now, today. There is a whole book talking about St. Xenia and the miracles that have happened, and they're all contemporary, and there are hundreds of them. Many, many miracles. She was buried in a chapel near the Cathedral of Smolensk, and when the communists came in, they boarded it up, and people could not get there, and so they began gathering, putting flowers outside around the property. But yet the communists refused that too. They put up a fence. They said that flowers were not allowed. And so people began making paper flowers at home and bringing them to the site where she was buried. They could not see her relics, so they would gather up the dirt from around the church. And that dirt was brought home to different people. And it was used as cures for many, many illnesses, because we know that God works through material things that are sanctified by the presence of the holy. In this case, her holy relics themselves. Eventually, when the communists fell from power, the church was opened up, and now it's a tremendous pilgrimage site with long lines to get in just to spend a half a minute or so with her relics inside the chapel. She is truly one of the greatest saints of the modern age, an astounding woman who, again, was someone just like us, sitting in the bed of comfort and all the things that we have. But yet when push came to shove, when the Lord finally came along that road, and her husband died, and she felt that she needed to spend every moment of her life praying for his soul because of the way it happened. She also prays for us today as well. St. Xenia was someone who showed great, great love in her life towards all people. And one can only fathom the idea that her husband Andre is certainly in the kingdom of heaven as well, having that sort of love and intercessor for him that she displayed during her life. Of course, we ask all of the departed who have left us in the hope of resurrection and life eternal. We ask all of them to pray for us as they can, as well as we pray for them. And those that we know are declared to be saints of the church, we know that are in the kingdom of heaven, being closest to God, they pray for us as well. But through these actions of St. Xenia, through these many miracles, through her wondrous and just blazing example of love for Christ in a way that most of us would find most difficult at the very best, she is someone that we should go to also. Because being a modern saint, and of course, when I refer to the 1700s, in Orthodoxy, that is very, very modern. Being a modern saint, she is someone who certainly understood the things that we go through. She understood the temptations and distractions of the world. She understood that we too need to turn to God, because He is first and foremost the greatest thing in our lives, the only thing that matters, the one thing needful, and the thing that we should abandon all else if called upon in order to pursue. So it's wonderful that we celebrate her on this day, because she has always been one of my favorite saints. Everyone who has ever asked of her intercession was not disappointed, because she is certainly, certainly sitting by the throne of God. Through the prayers of our Holy Mother among the saints, Xenia, the homeless wanderer of St. Petersburg, Lord Jesus Christ our God, have mercy on us. Amen.